This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. We'll travel back to 1953 for today's first story. It's from Stand By for Crime. It's titled Prisoners of the Revolution. After that, it's Mystery Is My Hobby and Death Paints with Purple, their episode from September 24th, 1947.
Stand by for crime.
Hi, Chuck Morgan again. Did you ever participate in a full-scale revolution? Well, I had that dubious pleasure less than a month ago. And when I say pleasure, I use the word loosely. Anyway, I made a good story, and I'd like to tell you about it. You see, Pappy Mansfield, owner of radio station KLP here in L.A., where High Workers newscaster, is a showman of the first water. When he heard rumors that the Ramon Escobar faction in the tiny South American Republic of Parana was going to attempt to overthrow the Leopoldo de los Rios regime, he contacted the powerful 250,000-watt station in Paolo, Parana's capital city. He set up a shortwave deal whereby I could broadcast the show back to the United States. Then he bought tickets for Carol Curtis, my blonde secretary, and me on the Braniff Airlines. We left International Airport on a Sunday evening, and 2 days later, we're nearing our destination. Only a short while longer, Glamorpus, and we'll set down at the Francisco Airport in Paola, and I'll bet you'll be glad to get there.
Oh, I don't know. It kind of scares me. I don't know a thing about South America.
You don't? Mm-mm. Why, Glamorpus, South America extends from about 12 degrees north of the equator to about 56 degrees south of the equator.
Yes.
It covers an area of 7,200,000 square miles and has a population of 100,195,000.
Oh, get in.
Ta-ta.
Now I suppose you're going to tell me you also speak Peranian or whatever that is.
Fiddle-dee-dee, naturally.
Well, speak some at me.
Te amo mucho.
Well, I'll be...
Hmm.
What does that mean, Chuck?
Oh, come on. Now, don't be stupid. Everyone knows what te amo mucho means.
Well, I don't. And I don't believe you do either.
Huh?
Oh, I think you're making it up.
Fasten your safety belts, please.
Well, Glamorpus, this looks like the end of the journey.
Yeah, they must go to bed early around here. I can't see a thing below.
That's because you're looking out of the wrong window, bird brain. Look over here.
Oh, Chuck, it's like a fairyland.
Isn't it?
Oh, there must be millions of lights.
Mm.
I had no idea Paola would be so big.
Well, what'd you expect, a backcountry settlement?
Oh?
Paola, my sweet, is one of the most modern cities in the world. As are most South Americans. Oh, there's the airfield. See it?
Yes.
You all set?
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm as set as I ever will be. But I'm still scared.
Senor Chuck Morgan.
Yes, that's right. You must be Pedro Falcon.
I am sorry, senor. I am not Pedro Falcon. I am a member of the great and glorious forces of Ramon Escobar.
Ramon Escobar? But I thought that we were going...
You North Americans think too slowly, Senor Morgan. The revolt led by General Escobar was successfully accomplished yesterday.
Oh, no.
General Escobar now sits in the seat of power formerly occupied by that scoundrel, Leopoldo de los Rios. And you, Senor Morgan, are his prisoner.
The trouble with most Americans who travel abroad is that unthinkingly they're too sure of themselves. And unconsciously, Carol Curtis and I followed the pattern. We protested violently at being treated like criminals. We offered to show our credentials, and we didn't get the chance. In less time than it took us to realize exactly what was happening, we were detoured around customs and forced into a curtained automobile, persuaded by a couple of blunt-nosed pistols pressed into our backs. Our captor, Señor Pancho Ortega, he said his name was polite but adamant.
You will refrain from attempting to look from the automobile or in any way to attract attention. To do so would be most disastrous for both of you.
I'm going to be pretty disastrous with you, my friend. Just wait until the United States Consulate finds out about this.
The United States Consulate, I can assure you, is not going to find out.
No? Well, don't be too sure. Everyone in Piranha knows we're here tonight. We've had more publicity than your whole two-bit revolution.
Precisely, Senor Morgan. That is why you are our prisoner.
I don't get it.
You will get it, as you say, in due time, senor.
We rode for about an hour, making a lot of turns and keeping at a moderate pace. Twice in the distance, we heard sounds of gunfire, which indicated that Raymond Escobar's coup wasn't so completely successful as our friend Pancho had wanted us to believe. After a while, the automobile made a final turn and slowed down. We bounced along a cobbled street for a short distance and then stopped.
You will get out, please.
Now, look here, friend. You've gone far enough. If you don't...
Please, no talking.
But if we can't talk, how are we going
to... The same goes for you, senorita.
Oh, all right.
Pancho led the way through an unlighted doorway. We followed. His two henchmen were directly behind us. One of them produced a flashlight, which revealed a flight of rickety stairs. We all went up. At the top was a small landing and a door. Pancho opened the door. We followed him inside. Someone snapped a light switch. It was a bare room, consisting of a table, two chairs, and a couch. A naked electric light bulb hanging from the ceiling gave the place a dismal, unlived-in look. There was one window.
Very well, senora and senorita. You will wait here.
What for? How long? Listen, you don't seem to realize how you're sticking your chin out on this deal. If you don't let me talk to the United States consul,
I'm going
to...
May I suggest that you make yourself comfortable until I return?
Rafael, Carlos, come.
Well, Senor Morgan, we're in a fine mess.
Oh, shut up. Relax, Glamopus. Locked. That doesn't surprise me.
Chuck, this window's got bars on the outside.
Yeah, well, that isn't surprising either. We wouldn't have been left alone if there was a chance of getting out of here.
Chuck, why were we taken prisoners? And why don't they let us see the American consulate? And what are we going to do?
You ask those questions as though you expected me to come up with the answers.
Well, you usually do have the answers. Oh, this is a heck of a time to conk out on me.
Come on, hang on to that sense of humor, Glamopus. You may need it.
If that's a sense of humor showing through, then I'm going to be grinning at my own funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, say something nice to me, Chuck. I think I'm going to cry.
Now, look, Glamopus, get this. We're in a spot, and you start making matters worse by boiling up. Uh-oh. Well, back so soon, senor?
I promise you only a short wait, remember? You will step this way, please.
The room we followed Pancho into was a duplicate of the one we'd left. Only this one had more lights, more furniture, and more people. The first person that caught my eye was a lovely raven-haired girl. She was sitting at a table directly beneath the electric light bulb. Beside her was a man. I looked at the man and felt goose pimples breaking out all over.
Chuck!
Yes, I see.
Well, he looks exactly like you.
There is a slight resemblance.
Slight resemblance? Why, he's a dead ringer.
Buenas noches, señorita. Señor. Ah, so you notice it too, eh? It is most uncanny, no?
Yes. I mean, Chuck, say something.
I think our host wants to talk a while, Glamopus.
You are quite right, Señor Morgan. First, let me introduce myself. I am Leopoldo de los Ríos, President of the Republic of Paraná.
De los Ríos? But I thought we...
You thought that my loyal follower, Pancho, was a member of the Ramon Escobar forces.
Yeah.
Quite. Only by posing as such was he able to enter the airfield and drive you away as his guest.
Guest? Yeah, that's a hot one. All right, Ríos, what's the rest of the story?
As you pointed out to my loyal supporter, Pancho, your arrival here received more publicity than our, what was your expression, two-bit revolution.
Corny should have been the word.
That's the trouble with you North Americans. You treat the revolution outside your own country so lightly.
Nuts.
You're amused. Hundreds of people were killed, and you are amused.
Oh, no, Mr. Ríos. We didn't think it was funny at all, did we, Chuck?
Keep quiet, Glamopus. All right, senor. You read about me coming down here in the papers, so what?
And saw your pictures.
All right, okay. So there were pictures.
Please, Senor Morgan. This belligerent attitude will get you nowhere. Put yourself in my position, in the position of any Paranian. There is talk of a revolution. You plan to broadcast it over your radio as though it were some sort of cheap spectacle. Thousands of people have been killed, and you make sport of it.
All right. You said hundreds before, but never mind. You've got a point. I admit it. I apologize. Now, where do we go from here?
For the moment, senor, you will go nowhere. It is I who am going.
Well, that's okay with us. You go your way, we'll go ours.
Unfortunately, it will not be simple for you to go your way. You see, Senor Morgan, your thirst for publicity brought you much of it. Your picture was published and republished. And even I, Senor Morgan, could not fail to note the strong resemblance between us.
All right, okay, so we're twins. Now what?
Now, Senor Morgan, I will take your papers, all of your credentials, and escape from Parana.
What?
Yes, Senor Morgan. It is an excellent plan I have. Well thought out, and it shall be well executed.
You are out of your mind.
No. Far from it. At the moment, I am the deposed leader of my country. The police and the military are systematically searching the city. The time is short. It is inevitable that they will find my hideout here.
And when they do?
Ramon Escobar, Senor Morgan, has issued a decree. I am to be shot on sight.
Chuck, do you realize what that means? If he takes your papers and...
You keep quiet, Glamour Puss. Go ahead, Rios.
I think you understand the situation, Senor. Since you North Americans make so light of our small revolution, since you think it is so amusing to come down here and make a spectacle of what to us is a most serious affair, you shall have your chance to be a sport about the whole thing?
I think I get what you're driving at, Senor. You're going to take my credentials, and posing at me, you're going to take the first plane out of here for safety.
Precisely.
You're going to leave me here, and when Escobar's gang catches up with me, I'm going to be executed in your stead.
Oh, not necessarily. You are, I think, a clever man, Senor Morgan.
Gracias.
Perhaps you can avoid capture until I return from Cuba.
Cuba?
Yes, I shall leave the plane in Cuba. There I have many influential friends. There I shall reorganize my armies and one day return to Parana to liberate my people from the tyrant Ramon Escobar.
One day return? And when will that one day be, senor?
Who knows? A month? 6 months? A year?
And during that time I'm supposed to hang around here, ducking the cops and the army who will stop at nothing to get a rope around my neck.
If you're still alive when I return, senor, you will be sent back to your country a free man.
Well, that's mighty white of you, chum. But I have other ideas.
So?
Yeah, so. Your flunkies have failed to frisk either one of us when they picked us up at the airport. All right. Did you ever see one of these before?
Yes, many times. That is a Colt's 45 automatic. A very effective weapon. Do you intend to shoot us all with it, senor?
Only if you're stupid enough to try to stop us from getting out of here. Carol!
Yes, Chuck?
Go over and see where that door leads to.
No one in this room will attempt to spoil your phone, senor. It is outside the room you will be stopped.
I'll take that chance.
It's open, Chuck. And there's a hole outside and the stairs we came up.
Good. Now stay where you are, all of you. One false move and you get it. Get out in the hall, Glamour Puss. As soon as I close the door, lock it.
All right.
I stepped quickly through the door, banged it shut. Carol turned the key. We spun toward the stairs, but we stopped. 5 men were gathered at the head of the stairwell.
Drop your gun, J.R.
We had our choice of shooting it out or being shot ourselves, so I decided to shoot it out. At the moment, I couldn't think of any alternative. Drop to the floor, to escape had failed completely. The last thing I remember was dropping to the floor beside Carol, thinking what a crummy way this was to die. 6,000 miles from home in a country about the size of Rhode Island, and no forest lawn where a guy could get a decent funeral. Then something hit me on the side of my head, and it was curtains. I woke up on the couch in the room where Carol and I had spent the first 5 minutes of our imprisonment. But despite that throbbing ache in my head, I thought I must surely be in heaven. For standing over me was an angel. I shut my eyes and opened them again. She was still there. She had raven black hair and eyes the color of midnight, and a skin that would shame the petals of a rose.
The senor feels better?
Oh, yeah, like $1,000,000.
Drink this, please.
What is it?
It will stop the ache.
I took the stuff and drank it. What did I have to lose? It tasted like the devil. But the ache had stopped in my head. Then I discovered 2 things. There was a bandage tied neatly around my head. And the angel with the rose petal skin was a girl who had been sitting at the table beside De Los Rios. Ah, so it's you.
You feel better, see?
Yeah, thanks. Where's Glamour Puss?
Glamorpus?
Carol Curtis, a girl who's with me.
Oh, she is quite safe. I will take you to her in a moment.
Why not now?
First, I have to make what in the United States, I believe you call the proposition.
Uh-oh. I hope you didn't mention to Glamorpus that you were going to say that to me.
Let me explain, please.
Huh?
I am Conchita Cortez, the sister-in-law of Leopoldo de los Rios.
Well, baby, I wouldn't brag about it.
You must realize what a serious position you are in, Señor Morgan. Unless you permit me to help you escape, you will surely be captured and executed.
Now, wait a minute. Let's take this once over lightly, chicken. Did you say that you would help us to escape?
I did.
What's the catch?
The catch, as you call it, Señor, is that you take me with you.
What?
I want to go to the United States. I must go to the United States.
Oh, I see. And you figure this is your chance of getting out of the country, eh?
It is more than that, Señor. In North America is my fiancé. He waits for me there. A whole year he waits. We wish to get married.
Well, that figures. Now, about this plan of escape, sir.
I know the city well. I have many friends and much jewelry to be used as gifts.
Well, I'm still in the position of having nothing to lose, so okay, Conchita. It's a deal. This was beginning to seem like a bad nightmare, the awakening from which was becoming increasingly uncertain. Conchita snapped off the light and took hold of my hand.
You do not mind?
No, not to the contrary.
Follow closely, please.
Huh?
And do not make any sound.
We went through a door and into another darkened room. Stopped a moment to listen. Far off, the machine gun began its angry chattering. It was a dull explosion, sounding like a grenade. Then silence. We moved across the floor, and Conchita opened a second door. Sudden light exploded out at us. I heard the sound of quick footsteps. And then Carol had her arms around my neck.
Chuck! Oh, Chuck!
Take it easy, Glamorpus. Everything's going to be all right.
Oh, Chuck, I was afraid. Who's this?
This, sweetheart, is Conchita Cortez. Quite a kid.
Yes. Yes, I see she is. You can drop the little boy's hand now, darling. He's not afraid anymore.
I am so sorry. I did not intend. I was not thinking.
Lots of girls stop thinking when Chucky Boy turns on.
And then listen, lay off Glamorpus, will you? Conchita's going to get us out of this mess. She's also going back to the States with us.
Oh, she is?
I do not want to appear rude, but there's so little time. That machine gun fire I do not like. It means there is still resistance.
All right, we're ready. It's any time you are, little one. Let's go. We stepped out into a cobbled alley, turned right, and headed for the lighted street. Near the mouth of the alley, we stopped. A man had suddenly appeared around the corner. He was in uniform and carried a rifle. He stood peering into the alley's gloom. He started towards us, and Conchita said,
"Wait! Do not move."
Her heels clicked away on the cobblestone. The soldier brought the gun down, but Conchita spoke to him softly, and he allowed her to approach. They stood a minute talking. Then we saw Conchita reach into her handbag.
Chuck.
Yeah.
You called her little one.
What?
You called her little one back there in the room.
Called her? At a time like this, you bring up a stupid... Listen, I called her little one because that's her name. Conchita means little one in Peranian.
Oh, Chuck, I'm sorry.
Well, you better be. Conchita returned, and she led us back to the street. The soldier had disappeared. As a matter of fact, there wasn't a soul in evidence anywhere. We crossed two intersections, then made a right turn, and the business district of Peoria was before us. Looking as much like 6th and Olive in L.A. as 6th and Olive looks like 6th and Olive. Only there weren't any people or traffic. I could feel Carol's hand begin trembling in mine. She was getting that same sense of eeriness. Suddenly, Conchita stopped, holding up her hand.
Listen. It is a patrol. They're coming this way. Quick. Beyond that building is an alley. In the alley is an automobile. We must hurry.
We didn't have a chance. The patrol came around the corner and saw us. There was a shout of command. The soldiers broke ranks and ran towards us. Quick, into this building. Hurry! Inside, both of you. Let me bolt the door. We were on the ground floor of an office building. There was a large plaque on the wall. I glanced at it, and then I did a take.
Look! This is station PAR, the radio station from which I was going to do that broadcast.
Chuck, if Pedro Falcon is here, he'll help us.
Yeah.
Pedro Falcon was taken prisoner yesterday. This station is now in the
hands... You'll raise your hands, please, all of you. Señor Leopoldo de los Ríos, you are the prisoner of Ramón Escobar, president of the Republic of Paraná.
You've heard the old American expression, out of the frying pan, into the fire? Well, that was us. The man with the gun ordered us into a waiting room that had been converted into temporary headquarters for Ramon Escobar. The general himself, a short, swarthy man with a waxed mustache, sat behind a table that was big enough for a director's meeting at the AT&T. At sight of me, he leaped to his feet.
Rios, so you were unable to escape as you boasted, eh?
Now, take it easy, General. I'm not Rios. My name is Morgan. I'm an American.
Oh, you are not Leopoldo de los Rios,
you
eh?
Heard.
Oh, come, Leopoldo. Do you take me for a fool?
He's telling the truth, General Escobar. This is not Leopoldo de los Rios.
Oh, and I suppose you are not Conchita Cortez, Leopoldo's sister-in-law.
Yes, that is true. I am Conchita Cortez. But you must believe me. This man is Señor Morgan, a citizen of the United States.
I see. And who is the lovely creature standing beside him?
I'm Carol Curtis, and you can tell his monkey face to let go my arm.
Well, such a fiery spirit. Corporal!
It was obvious we weren't getting anywhere with the general. Whether or not he believed I was Leopoldo de los Rios, he didn't seem to bother much. He had himself a couple of fine prisoners, and he was delighted. I was beginning to weigh my chances of getting hold of the corporal's rifle when something happened.
Hi, Chuck. Hello, Carol.
Pappy!
Now I've seen everything. How did you get here?
Oh, Pappy, I was never more glad to see anyone in my life.
Oh, you can say Señor Mansfield, you know this Leopoldo de los Rios?
Leopoldo, my foot, that's Chuck Morgan. He works for me. The blonde girl is Carol Curtis, his secretary.
Oh, this is de los Rios. His face is very familiar to
Chuck's
me.
Chuck's face is familiar to me. Listen, General, does your friend de los Rios have a Yankee accent, or hadn't you noticed it?
This is something I had not thought of.
Well, you better think of it beginning now. Come on, you two. We're getting out of here.
Okay, Pappy.
Wait. The girl stays.
Which girl?
Conchita Cortez. She stays. She will remain as hostage. De los Rios will not attempt to leave Paraná so long as he thinks she is in danger.
Now, just a minute, General. You're wrong again. Conchita goes with us.
So? And why is it you say this?
Because I made a deal with her. She agreed to help us escape if I promised to take her back to the United States with us.
Escape? But she did not succeed in helping you escape,
That's
Señor.
That's not the point. We made a deal. She tried to keep her part of it. I'm going to keep mine.
And if I do not permit...
You'll permit, General. First, because it was Conchita who contacted the American consulate, which in turn contacted me. And second, because if I'm not back at the consulate in 15 minutes, that broadcast I was telling you about is going on the air. They have a short wave set up over there, and the American people are just waiting to hear the details of this revolution of yours.
I see.
And a lot is going to depend upon the nature of those details. Your credit rating with the United States government, for one thing.
I see. Perhaps this would be important to the future of Paraná, eh?
Well, it seems likely. You might as well count on Uncle Sam to get your country back onto its feet. Everyone else does.
Yes, yes. This is most important. Most important indeed. Very well, it is a bargain. You will make the broadcast and explain to the people of the United States that the government of Paraná is now...
Good old Pappy. And what a liar he was. There wasn't any short wave set up at the American consulate. But General Escobar didn't know that. However, I did make a brief talk from station PAR, stating the facts of the revolution and refraining from any personal comment. Then the four of us were given safe escort to the airfield. That big four-motored Braniff airliner took off 5 minutes after we reached the field. Pappy squeezed himself into a seat beside the beautiful Conchita.
Pappy's sure having himself a time, isn't he?
Look at that old boy. He's getting a boot out of being so close to South American beauty. What does that mean?
So were you.
So was I what?
Getting a boot out of being so close to South American beauty.
Oh, now, glamour puss.
I found out something.
What?
Conchita doesn't mean little one.
Oh?
You just made that up.
Now, look, glamour puss, under the circumstances...
And I found out something else, too.
What?
I found out what te amo mucho means.
Well, you found out what te amo mucho? What does it mean?
Well... Say it in English.
Okay, Glamorpus. I love you very much.
Oh, Chuck.
mystery is my hobby. Ladies and gentlemen, Barton Drake speaking. For tonight's drama, I've selected case history number 118 from my book, Mystery is My Hobby. I call it Death Paints with Purple.
Now, back to Glenn Langan and the first act of
Mystery is My Hobby.
Don't you think you better skip this one, Johnny?
Yeah, maybe I should.
You know, I can't get over how much better you look since you came back from the desert, Johnny.
Yeah, it did me good in more ways than one. The desert's good for the eyes.
You mean you can paint better?
I mean I can see better. See who my real friends are.
Oh?
And who some of them aren't.
Does that include me?
Yeah, Bill, I know where you stand.
How are you coming on Andy's picture?
Andy McAndrews can take that picture and go to blazes for it.
Well, Johnny, what has Andy done?
Well, if you'll take a good look, you can see what he's doing now.
Oh, that's nothing. Everybody does.
That's what I mean about my eyes. Well, I'm going to put a stop to that right now.
No, Johnny, don't start anything.
Come on.
I'm sure Johnny's grateful for all you've done, Andy.
Oh, I've really done very little, my dear.
Take your arm from around my wife's waist, your heel.
Why, Johnny, shame on you. Andy's only...
What's the matter, Johnny?
Don't think because you buy my pictures that you can love my wife.
Johnny, you don't mean that.
I don't allow anybody to love my wife but me.
And, Lee, I ought to knock you down for that.
Well, why don't you try it? I'm standing up.
Oh, by George, I think I will.
Okay, you ask for it.
Why, you swine!
Cut it out.
Don't, Andy, please.
No one takes a poke at me without Andy. Stop! Now, stop! I'll kick his head in.
Well, that's enough, Andy. You've already knocked him down.
You shouldn't have done that, Andy. I wouldn't give you that picture now if you were the last guy in the world.
Boys, what's the trouble?
Oh, Andy and Johnny had a little argument.
I was out in the kitchen and heard the...
The heel was making love to my wife.
Andy, you weren't.
Of course not, Verna. I think Johnny's a little drunk.
Well, I won't stand for fights in my house. Andy, you and John had better leave. But Johnny picked the fight, Verna, honestly. And he hit Andy first. And Johnny, you'd better go.
I wouldn't stay under any circumstances. Come on, Coral, let's get out of here.
I'm not coming. I'll stay here and come home later in a cab.
Well, have it your own way. Good night, folks.
Johnny, when you get home, you'd better take a couple of aspirin. Bill, go along with him, please. He's in no condition to be alone. I've seen him in these fits of temper before.
Oh, sure, Cora. I'll be glad to. Well, how about it, Johnny?
Sure, Bill. Come on. I've got some things to talk over with you, too.
There you are, Johnny. Tucked in all nice and cozy. Right here in the couch, right in your own studio.
Thanks, Bill. I don't feel so good.
Yeah. You want anything?
No, just want to sleep.
Yeah. Only 11 o'clock. Well, I'll turn off your light. I'm going back to the party. Now, you just leave everything to me, huh?
Say, that's the picture you're painting for Andy McAndrews, this desert scene?
One was a painting for Andy. You can't have it. It's my masterpiece. Andy's heel.
You feel differently in the morning. You'll think it's a... Sound asleep.
Oh, 3 o'clock. Oh, what a head. Glass of water. Gotta get a glass of water. Bathroom. Slippers. Glass by the water basin. Oh, here's a glass. Water. Nothing like good old water. Oh, what? No.
Water. The water's poisoned. Sire. The phone. Life. That. Phone. My Andy's picture. Masterpiece. Oh, no.
Barton Drake turned into the little white picket gate and walked across the flagstones to the whitewashed brick cottage, which was the home and studio of John Henley. Bart was an admirer of Henley's work and wished to commission him to do the illustrations for his new book. He took the two tile steps and reached out to ring when the door opened.
Bart, what are you doing here?
Well, Inspector Noah Dadden. Inspector, are you, having your portrait painted?
Don't be funny. I asked you what you were doing here.
I came to see John Henley. Why?
What for?
He's going to do some illustration for me, if it's any of your business, which it isn't.
Look, don't give me that.
I get it. You've been posing for Henley. He told me he was going to do a group for the museum on Neanderthalic men.
Whatever that is, it's not funny. Well, as long as you're here, you might as well come on in.
Oh, thank you, Inspector.
Bonnie's in the studio.
Bonnie? Inspector, what?
Still kidding, huh? And you didn't know that John Henley committed suicide.
Henley? Suicide? Inspector, with God as my judge, I didn't have the slightest idea.
Might have been curious.
I came here to talk to John about some work he's going to do for me.
Well, maybe, but if that's the case, you might as well go on back home. He squeezed his last splotch of paint from a paint tube.
Suicide? Oh, I can't believe that Johnny wasn't the kind to commit suicide.
Why not?
He'd rather drown his troubles in a bottle.
Well, that ties in. He wasn't quite himself last night.
How do you know?
Look, Bart, I've investigated this case. I've talked to all the people connected with it. That's how I know. And I'm all through with it, and I'm going home. Just as soon as the wagon comes to take away the body.
Well, couldn't you be persuaded to give me just a teeny, teeny bit about this, Inspector, please? Pretty please?
Oh, all right. Now, look. Henley was at a party last night, a party that was thrown by Mrs. Verna Billings, a widow.
Was his wife, Cora, with him?
Of course she was, and so were a couple of other people, a fellow by the name of Bill Royal and another guy by the name of Andy McAndrews. Well, Henley proceeds to get nasty and starts a fight with this McAndrews guy.
Huh?
Makes a complete ass of himself. So the hostess, this widow, orders him out of the house.
I see. Did he leave?
Sure. This Bill Royal drove him home here and put him to bed.
Bill Royal? What was the matter with his wife?
Because it was only 11 o'clock and she wanted to stay at the party. She was mad at him, besides.
Then, what did this Bill Royal do?
Went back to the party. About 3 o'clock, Henley gets up, goes to the bathroom, mixes himself a glass of poison.
Oh, wait a minute. Just a minute, Inspector. How do you know this happened at just 3 o'clock?
Because he called the folks at the party right after 3 and told them he'd taken poison.
Huh?
Also made some crazy remark about finishing a masterpiece. Something he'd been painting for this McAndrews guy.
Hmm. Did you say the body was still here?
Yeah, in the studio.
Mind if I take a look?
No, I suppose not. Come on.
Thank you, Inspector.
He isn't very pretty. The kind of poison he took did things to him.
Was it quick acting?
I'll say. Couldn't have lived over 3 minutes. Well, there he is. Mm-hmm. Just as we found him, lying there right in front of his easel.
He certainly ruined that picture, didn't he?
Yeah. I wonder why he did that.
Stuck his fingers in some purple paint and dragged them clear across the painting.
That's what he must have meant when he said that he'd finished the masterpiece. Huh. He finished it, all right.
Inspector, I believe that Henley was trying to tell us something. Oh, did you happen to find out for whom he was doing this painting?
Sure, the McAndrews guy. Hey. I got you, Bart. He and McAndrews had a fight and he... Come on, we're going to have another little talk with that guy.
You sure McAndrews is here at Mrs. Billings?
Yeah, they're all here. McAndrews, Henley's wife, and Bill Royal.
Did Didn't any of them go home after the party?
Sure, they all did, but they came right back again. Been slopping up drinks and consoling the widow. Now ring.
It's a rather peculiar thing to do, isn't it?
Huh. Yes? Oh, how do you do, Inspector?
Good afternoon, Miss Billings. Meet Bart and Drake.
How do you do?
Won't you come in?
Yep.
What brings you back? I thought you'd finished your investigation.
I got a couple of more questions I want to ask McAndrews.
They're in the other room. Bart and Drake.
How do you do, sir?
Why did he do it, Bart? Why did he do it?
Do what?
Commit suicide.
He didn't.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Your husband, Cora, was murdered.
Now, see here, Bart, I didn't...
Henley was murdered. And I believe he was murdered by one of you people in this room.
Well, that's a very serious accusation, Mr. Drake.
Murder is very serious, Mr. McAndrews.
Oh, no. My name's Royal. That's McAndrews.
Oh, my mistake.
But he couldn't have been murdered. At least not by any of us. We were all here all evening. That is, all except Bill, and he was only gone for half an hour when he drove Johnny home at 11.
Yes, and we were still here at 3 o'clock in the morning when Johnny phoned and told us he'd taken poison.
Yes, I know. Inspector, didn't you want to ask Mr. McAndrews some questions?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Hey, how about that fight you had with Henley McAndrews?
Fight?
Yeah.
Oh, it was perfectly silly. Johnny accused me of making love to his wife.
Were you?
Of course not.
Who came off second best in that fight?
Johnny did. I'm afraid I knocked him down.
Mm-hmm. And that made you mad. Mad enough to kill him, maybe. No, that isn't right. He'd be the one that'd be mad.
Now, look here. It was nothing more than a drunken brawl. I was very fond of Johnny. I bought most of his pictures. Besides that, just recently, I financed him to a trip to the Southwest where he could get the proper atmosphere for a special painting I wanted.
You're sure it wasn't to get Henley out of town so he could have a clear field with his wife?
That's a nasty remark, Inspector. I'd advise you to watch your tongue.
Oh, yeah?
Inspector, there just might be something to the inspector's remark, Mr. McAndrews. For instance, did you see Cora at any time while Johnny was gone?
Well, yes, a couple of times. I took her to a few shows. It didn't mean anything. I just didn't want her to be lonesome.
That isn't quite true, Bart. I've been having to fight Andy off for some time.
What? Why, that's a dirty, deliberate lie.
Tell me more, Cora.
He's been constantly asking me to leave Johnny.
Oh? Did you consider it?
Certainly not. I was very much in love with Johnny.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that going out with another man while your husband is out of town is being a good and loving wife?
I only put up with Andy because of the things he was doing for my husband.
Why, you lying little wench!
Shut up, you!
Cora is telling the truth, Mr. Drake.
So? Mm-hmm. Mr. Royal?
We all saw what was going on. In fact, I took it upon myself to warn Andy that Johnny would kill him if he ever found out.
Well, I don't know what your reasons are for saying these things, but there isn't one word of truth in anything any of you have said. They're nothing but a lot of libelous, vicious lies. I'm deeply in love with Verna Billings here. In fact, we're going to be married. Isn't that right, Verna?
Well, I...
But what's the matter with everybody? I couldn't have killed anybody. I didn't leave this house for a single instant last night. You'll back me up on that, I'm sure, Verna.
I'm sorry, Andy, but I can't.
What do you mean?
About 2 o'clock, you said things were getting stifling in here, and you went out for a walk, remember?
Yes,
looks
but
like you're a crook, McAndrews. Besides all this, Henley pointed a finger of guilt right at you just before he died. He smeared your pretty new picture all over with a gob of purple paint. Come on, you're under arrest. For murder.
And now, back to Glenn Langan for the second act of...
Mystery is My Hobby.
I don't see why you had to come up here to McAndrews' office, Bart. I've already got enough evidence to hang him.
Hmm? Hang who?
McAndrews.
Well, you see, I'd rather hang the murderer.
Huh? Say, are you nuts? McAndrews is a murderer.
Well, I've got some different ideas, Inspector. Take a look in the file cabinet, will you? See if you can locate John Henley's file.
Okay.
Hurry up, will you, Inspector?
They're right here.
All right. Give them here.
What do you expect to find in here?
Letters, I hope. Here's something. A letter written to McAndrews from Henley when he was in the Southwest.
I can't see how that could have anything to do with it.
Listen to this, Inspector.
Well?
Dear Andy, sure want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to paint the desert. I'm enjoying every minute of it. You were right. The sun has boiled out the you-know-what. I think I've cured myself completely, but I'm beginning to experience the awful loneliness that an alcoholic feels in sobriety. To keep myself from going crazy, I'm doing a little prospecting. What do you know? Funny that a painter should do anything like that, isn't it? Don't fall over in a faint if I should happen to find something, and if I do, I'll be able to repay you very substantially for all your kindnesses. Sincerely, Johnny.
No motive for murder there.
No.
Nothing but love and kisses.
Wait a minute, Inspector. Here's another one dated 6 weeks later.
Now, don't tell me he found a gold mine.
Yeah. It looks like he did. Listen. McAndrews, heard through a friend of mine that you've been fooling around with Cora. Too bad for you, my friend, that you didn't stay in your own backyard. Incidentally, I've nearly finished the picture that I came here to paint, but you'll never get it.
Well?
Also, incidentally, I found out what I was looking for in the hills. But you'll never get any of that either. Instead, you're going to get a good stiff poke in the jaw, Henley. P.S. Pass the bottle. What do you think of that, Inspector?
Oh, Bart, you kill me.
Do I?
Sure. What you've just found cinches the case against McAndrews. If ever there was an airtight motive for a murder, there's one.
Yeah? Just how do you figure it?
Henley goes prospecting with McAndrews' money, finds a gold mine, and then refuses to split. Guys are getting themselves killed every day for pulling double crosses like that.
Yes, I'll have to admit that was the motive for the murder, all right?
Oh, well, you don't have to feel too bad. You guys got to guess wrong once in a while.
Thank you, Inspector. Would you do me a favor?
Sure, glad to. What do you want?
Would you mind rounding up that gang and bringing them up to John Henley's studio?
Okay, but I don't for the life of me see what for.
Well, you see, Inspector, I want to apologize to them for all my nasty thoughts.
Well, come on, let's get this over with. What more do you want with us?
Oh, I just feel as though I should do the inspector a favor. I got him into this, you know. He had the case all solved. Suicide.
You've already done me a favor, Bart. You put me on to McAndrews.
Yes, but I'm afraid you've gotten off on a detour.
Huh? Why, you said...
Mrs. Billings. Yes? Andy McAndrews was quite right in saying that he intended to marry you, wasn't he?
Well...
In fact, you intended to marry him. That is, until Bill Royal here started lavishing his attentions on you. Then you decided that... You two would make a better team.
Well, that's a lie. I didn't.
Bill, how could you? Why, you and I were going to.
Thank you, Cora.
Say, Bart, how'd you know that?
I didn't. I pulled that one out of the blue, Inspector, but it got the desired result. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm ready to tell you who killed John Henley, how, and why.
We know who did it. Andy McAndrews.
No, Cora, you're wrong, and you know it. Johnny knew what he was talking about when he said that somebody was playing around with you. Only he didn't accuse the right party. It was you, Bill Royal.
Me? Why?
Don't deny it. Cora's already given it away. It'll do you no good. At the same time, you are still seeing Verna on the side.
Bill, I never would have believed...
Well, you're well rid of him, Mrs. Billings. It was only your money he was after. He only switched over to Cora when he learned that Johnny had discovered a gold mine.
I don't believe it. Bill really loves him. I love him. Love is something nobody can help. It just happened.
Yes, unfortunately. Now, Mr. Royal, in order for you to get your hands on this mining property, it was necessary for you to marry Johnny's wife.
Hey, Bart, he couldn't do that. She was already married.
Yes, indeed, Inspector, and you can't just wish you were single again, can you? Also, to make marriage a profitable occupation, it was necessary for the property to come into Cora's hands completely with no strings attached. How would you arrange such a situation, Inspector?
Easy. Henley had to die.
Correct. And so, Bill Royal, you killed him.
Yeah. What radio program have you been listening to?
Still not ready to admit it, huh?
Don't be silly. I have a perfect alibi.
So?
John was alive at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was at Verna's party at 3 o'clock in the morning, and everybody who was there will have to swear to it, whether they want to or not. Now, how are you going to get around that, Mr. Smart Detective?
And these same people will swear to the fact that Johnny was drunk.
Sure, why not?
Mm-hmm. They'll also swear to the fact that you drove him home, that you were gone only about a half an hour, just long enough to tuck him into bed and to get back here.
Yes, I'll swear to that myself.
It's been established in the autopsy that John Henley died by a very quick-acting poison, that he must have died within 3 minutes after he took it.
Well, all the more reason why I couldn't have given it to him. No, Drake, you're barking down the wrong horse.
Oh, no, Mr. Royal. I'll show you how you could have given it to him. In fact, how you did give it to him.
If you can do that, I'll take some of the stuff myself.
Thanks for the tip. Inspector, you better take steps.
Right, Mark.
No, you don't. You...
Shut up or I'll swatch it.
Leave me.
Stand still, will you?
Better be thorough, Inspector. It wouldn't take very much of that, you know.
Yeah. Here's something. Hey, Bart, you're right. This is the same stuff.
That still doesn't prove I gave any of it to Henley.
No, but I'll tell you just what happened, and maybe that will convince you, Mr. Royal. You see, when you brought John Henley home, you tucked him into bed in the studio. The studio, by the way, has its own individual bathroom. You knew that he'd had too much to drink and that he'd wake up and be thirsty. So, what did you do?
You tell me.
My pleasure. After putting it to bed, you quietly slipped into the bathroom and dropped a small amount of this poison into a drinking glass that was on the stand by the wash basin. That's all. Then you went back to the party and waited. At 3 o'clock, John Henley woke, just as you figured he would, went to the bathroom to quench his thirst. Drew himself a glass of water and drank it. By the way, am I doing all right?
It's your story. Go on.
Thank you. The stuff you used, Bill Royal, has an amazing effect. It counteracts the effects of alcohol right now. In 2 seconds, Hanley was as sober as a judge. He knew what had happened to him and who had done it. No doubt his subconscious mind remembered seeing you go into the bathroom. Anyway, he rushed to the phone and called Mrs. Billings' home, hoping he'd be able to speak to his wife and tell her what had happened. The poor guy. He never did know that you, too, had double-crossed him for him. But again, he was out of luck because you, Bill, answered the phone, and at that time, it wouldn't do him any good just to accuse the man who murdered him.
Great story, Drake. A great story.
Thank you.
I can see why your books sell so well. However, in this case, I'm afraid you've forgotten one very important thing.
Well, please tell me what it is, Mr. Lewis.
You've forgotten that anybody could have done the very same thing. You haven't one iota of evidence that ties me up with the case. All you've got is a lot of pretty theory.
Well, you see, I don't have to supply that evidence, Bill Royal. John Henley did it for me. He not only pointed one finger at you, he pointed five.
What do you mean?
He was determined that his murderer wouldn't go unpunished, but he had such a little time, just seconds. So he grabbed a tube of paint and squeezed it on his fingers. And even as he fell to the floor, he managed to pull his hand across his latest picture. That painting, incidentally, was standing in front of you.
What does that prove?
That, my friend, proves that you are the killer. Because those five marks, Bill Royal, are purple. Royal purple.
And now, back to Glenn Langan for the conclusion of...
Mystery is my hobby.
Oh, just take that man, Bart. Your move. Funny how you figured that was a murder. Sure looked like suicide to me.
It was a paint, Inspector.
Yeah?
When I saw that he'd smeared his masterpiece with purple paint, I knew it must have some definite purpose. That move laid you wide open, Inspector. I'll take these three. Call me, will you?
Yeah, Janice.
Then, of course, Bill was the only one who had the opportunity to do it. Aren't you going to move, Inspector?
Oh, yeah, sure, there.
Well, thank you, Inspector. That's two more.
Ah, nuts. Yeah, but why couldn't the McAndrews have done it when he went out for a walk?
If he went out for a walk, you mean, Inspector.
No? Huh?
But after that fight, John Henley would never have let him in. And, of course, Cora Henley showed her connection with the deal by going back to her friends right after the murder. No true or loving wife would do that. After the people who started a violent quarrel with her husband just after his death. Well, why don't you move, Inspector?
Why can't you? You've got me all sold up. Oh, gone you, Bart. You beat me at everything I try to do, whether it's checkers or murder. Here I had the most beautiful suicide I ever saw, and you have to go and make a mystery out of it.
Yeah, but of course, Inspector, of course. You certainly should know by now that mystery is my hobby.
That's it for Case Closed this week. You can find past episodes of this show, more old-time radio, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. There's also links there to our forum, Shoutcast stream, Facebook page, Twitter, and our donate button if you'd like to help support it all. Thank you, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Catch you again soon with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.